We are back on Beyond Sports. This is Hannah Stanley. It's ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com. Thank you for joining me again. I had Dr. Miller on earlier talking about the Food is Medicine event. And we are going to continue with that topic. Joining me right now is Eric Meredith. And I promoted him a minute ago by saying he's dietitian, health education specialist, and personal trainer. There's so much more to it than that, but we'll just hold it at that, or that would be our entire segment. Eric, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, this Food is Medicine event, Dr. Miller just talked about it. Dr. Totes talked about it last week. I am super excited about this as a topic because I feel that this is kind of a missing component, as viewing food as something to nourish us instead of just kind of feed us and move on.
Exactly.
So from your perspective as a nutritionist and a trainer, how exactly does this fit in?
Well, a couple ways. You mentioned a very great point about people looking at food as more than just nourishment. When you look at public health statistics, about 70% of chronic diseases, things like diabetes, cardiovascular disease, can be preventable or at least mitigated in reducing the risk with proper diets and physical activity. So when you look at not just waiting for something to occur, but when you look at making yourself healthy throughout life and preventing chronic disease, food plays a very important part.
It does. I mentioned this to Dr. Totes. There was a program on the BBC a few years ago called Food Hospital.
Okay.
And they would do things like this where they would look at people who had chronic illness or who had autoimmune disease.
Right.
And it was a multiple disciplinary panel of doctors and nutritionists. And then they approached it from, how can we fix this person with food, without medication, and possibly even get them off of their medication? And in every single case, it was effective when they put these people on a very strict diet, because what they were doing was replacing or supplementing where those nutrients that we all need,
right,
those people weren't getting,
right,
and stimulating things within their body based on just nutrition.
Right. Yeah, when you nourish the body with the proper macro and micronutrients, the macronutrients are the carbs, the fats, the proteins, and then the micronutrients are the vitamins and minerals. When you do that optimally, the body can heal itself and be in a state where it can help prevent future disease. So when you look at optimal nutrition, not only can it prevent disease, but it can help you mitigate disease once it's there.
On paper, it seems like this should be easy. You know, we have macronutrients and we have micronutrients, and we need to figure out how to get those.
Right.
There is so many nuances and complexities to it, and I don't need to tell you, this is your life's work.
Right.
How can people do this better? Obviously, coming to this event is a great start, which is February 23rd from 5:30 to 8. But how else can people really focus in on what they personally need?
Well, that's a very, very good question. So that there lies the dilemma kind of out there in the universe. Well, I think the first start is to make sure people have the right information. So what we're going to be focusing on the 23rd is a lot of the information out there, i.e. fad diets, may help people in the short term, but they don't help people in the long term because, one, they're not sustainable. Two, they don't teach you how to eat, not only for in general, but for you as an individual, and then once again, they can have negative long-term effects. So the first thing to do is find out what you should be eating from a caloric standpoint for your particular body. So that depends on your height, your weight, your age, your gender, and your activity level. So then you know how many calories you should consume, and then once you look at calories, you want to eat nutrient-dense foods. So you want to focus on five food groups, fats, protein, low-fat dairy, grains, fruits, and vegetables. And a lot of people advocate for making at least half your plate fruit and vegetables, more of a plant-based diet. So the whole goal is to find out what you should be consuming. And then the second is get foods from those food groups. So if you eat from those four, five food groups, you would get the macro and micronutrients that you should. A lot of people are using tools these days, like MyFitnessPal, mm-hmm. or tracking tools, like ChooseMyPlate.gov, to basically put in what they currently eat, what they eat on a normal basis, regular basis, and then figure out, are they actually meeting their daily calorie needs for their individual circumstance, and is the quality of their diet giving them the macro and micronutrients? So a little bit of it is, one, is information. You know, what is a balanced diet? Two, what do I need as an individual? Three is what I'm doing from a habitual standpoint, stacking up to the health recommendations of, you know, proper nutrition. So all of those particular factors will help people understand where they're at or where they need to be and where the gaps are.
I like that MyFitnessPal. It's a great app. It's always in my pocket, you know, on my phone. What I found interesting about it, though, is it's super easy if you're eating something that comes in a package, because you can scan the barcode.
Right.
If I'm trying to eat more of a real natural food, an apple, then I had to weigh the apple or the banana. And while that was very interesting, it also was a little bit easier to eat the processed food.
Yeah, so there's a tool on the website, on the ChooseMyPlate.gov website, mm-hmm. called Super Tracker. And what it allows you to do is everything goes against the USDA's, United States Department of Agriculture, their food database, so over about 6,000 foods. So in that, you can put in a small, medium, or large apple or a piece of fruit. Sometimes you can put in things from fast food restaurants or other restaurants. You might be able to put in a generic chicken sandwich, because 50% of the meals are eaten outside of the home. Mm-hmm. So that, we recognize that. So not everything is going to be a whole food, but we also don't want everything to be a processed or packaged food as well. So you need a kind of an inclusive tool like that to be able to put in. Well, I usually recommend people take a 3-day snapshot. So a 3-day food record, take 2 weekdays, and then 1 day on the weekend to basically track everything that you're eating. So you probably would write this down first, and then you would enter it into the Super Tracker. And you're absolutely right. You need to understand the portions that you're eating. And then sometimes that's kind of hard, so there are a lot of visual tools out there. But then you put that in the tool, and then it'll give you the calorie level that you're eating for all those 3 days, and then once again, the macro and micronutrients. Yeah, so some tools aren't made alike, but MyFitnessPal is a little bit more simplified. But there are some other tools out there that are a little bit more robust, like the Super Tracker.
The weighing of the food, though, I have to recommend, because when I've done this in the past, and a nutritionist will say, you know what, have 4 or 5 ounces of chicken.
Right.
I would always underestimate what I was having. So when I actually would take a salad and take the chicken off and weigh the chicken, I was always having 2.5 to 3 ounces of chicken. And so, I was like, wow, this is helpful to weigh so that I realize I can have more. Probably if I were to eat ice cream, I would have a little bit more than I should.
Right. Yeah.
But because you have more expertise in this, what are some of the biggest mistakes you're seeing people make with their diet across the board?
I think you already alluded to one of those, is portion control. The size of a French fry at a fast food restaurant used to be small. Mm-hmm. Now we have supersized, and some place super, super, supersized. So portion control has definitely been a thing that folks have been battling with as portion sizes have gotten bigger. And food has gotten, less expensive to purchase. So we were able to produce more food at a cheaper price, and so now the portion sizes are bigger. The second thing is processed foods. So once again, with 50% of the food being eaten away from home, you really can't control, you know, the quality of food. And not to say that the food at home is not processed too, because there's a lot of things you can buy in a supermarket that have some processing. So I tell people, or advocate for people, trying to eat as close as possible to the whole food source. Try to eat local as much as possible. Or if you can't eat local and things are out of season, get frozen. As long as it's not frozen in like a syrup or a sauce, you know, usually they catch fruit and vegetables at their ripe peakness, ripest peak, and then they actually freeze it so it can be available to show more sustainable from a shelf life And then, of course, sometimes more affordable because it's not as perishable. So those are some things. One is portion control. Two is definitely try to eat whole foods and get away from processed foods.
Hannah Stanley here. This is Beyond Sports on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com. Currently talking with Eric Meredith. He's one of the presenters at the Food as Medicine event, which will be taking place on Thursday, February 23rd from 5:30 to 8 p.m. It is free to the public. I want to stress that. Absolutely free to the public and open, open to anyone, but you do have to register. However, when you register, if you're unable to attend, you can stream it live, which is fascinating. It's really, really generous for them to do that. And I will give out that website in our next segment so you guys can all get registered for this. Stay tuned. Eric Meredith will be back with you in just a minute.